Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and otherwise, and welcome to a special production of Voices from the Grid, where myself, Ben Taylor, the Green Ranger.
What up? It's me, your boy.
And Sasha Kaplan, our Red Ranger.
Eternal Red Ranger, the one, the only, and the ever snarky.
And myself, the Pink Ranger. Brian Massey will be talking to you at length today about the most recently released special, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Once and Always. It's available on Netflix. If you haven't seen it now, go check it out.
Major spoiler alert!
Yeah, so yes. Huge spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert!
And yes, we're aware we released an episode recently from our Zeo season. This is outside of that continuity.
Basically, we knew that we couldn't really wait to talk about this until we get to this point in the series because it would be years.
I'm fairly sure I'll be 70 by that point.
And because it is something that is, like, you know, fresh on the minds of all fans everywhere, all of our Twitters have been alit with everyone talking about this. Whether it's past Rangers commentary or, you know, fan commentary, it's sort of in the now. So we thought we'd take advantage of the momentum and talk about it when we can. And, you know, by the time we get to it in the series continuity, you know, so many things might have changed in terms of our perceptions of this show, the way that our perceptions of past episodes that we've already watched changed from when we first watched it.
Also, I'm fairly sure that despite what Simon Bennett is claiming very, very hard on Twitter, I am still convinced this takes place in an alternate reality.
I would love to hear your thoughts on that.
We'll get to it.
We'll get to it. Brian, you're the man that came with the questions.
I sure am. So I'll just go ahead and kind of rattle off some stuff. This is going to be a little different from our usual episode. I mean, we're going to be kind of doing the same thing, but, you know, we're just kind of also going to just be shooting the breeze about what we thought about this. But I do have a little bit of structure here. And let's just go ahead and get right into it. Number one, and I think this is, at least for me, the most important question. Does this special do right by Tui Trang's legacy?
I don't think that's a fair question. I understand why they did it the way that they did it. I think ultimately one of my criticisms for this special was the introduction of Min. I did not think she was a very well-written character. Acting issues aside, I was just not a fan of the character. I think that the way that they remembered and honored Thuy Trang was very sweet. You know, her photo's there, her spirit is there. You have Ming practicing sort of the similar style of martial arts that Trini did in the show. You know, there's that moment when we'll get to it, but like when Min has, like, she sees flashes of her mom in the morpher. That was kind of weird. But it, like, the way that they remember Trini existed didn't necessarily bother me. I think there's sort of bigger issues at hand here.
Sure.
But then I guess the question is was it ultimately, and all due respect, but did we need to do it this way? I mean, they could have easily mentioned, because the entire story here is essentially around losing Trini, but they didn't necessarily have to go this route. You know what I mean? They could have honored her legacy by, you know, maybe all meeting up at her funeral or something else. You know, there's, I think, other ways they could have done it as well.
Yeah. It rings a little weird to me that, like, one of the first things they do is they literally, like, and also, again, if you didn't hear the first time, here'd be spoilers. So here's your warning now. But, like, yeah, they literally, like, the first major thing they do in this special is they don't just show that Trini died, they show her getting killed.
Yeah, they kill her off.
And I don't know. Like, it becomes a revenge story, and I don't know if
Well, I
that's.
think for, yeah, I don't have an issue with the fact that it's a revenge story necessarily, because at the end of the day, it's not so much about avenging Trini's death, at least for the rest of the cast. It's about stopping Rita and whatever nonsense she's pulling. And finding her and
Sure.
stopping her, because regardless of what happens to Trini, Rita, Robo Rita, is still a threat. But Ben, you are been kind of quiet over here.
I think you are asking the wrong question.
Okay.
You asked the question, does this do justice to the memory of Tui Trang? Wrong question. Does it do memory? Does
Of
it
Trini.
of Trini Kwan?
Trini Kwan.
Because let's be honest, we can't talk about whether it does for Tree because none of us know her.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right. Does this do Tui Trang, does this do Trini Kwan justice? No.
No.
There is far too many. If you are going to base the story around Trini and Trini's daughter, there are far too many unanswered questions. Like, who's the father? Where
Yeah,
is
not
he?
relevant. Well, they do
It's
say,
absolutely relevant
no, it's
when,
really not.
no, it is because Zack becomes the guardian.
That's true. I
Right?
think the only thing they tell us about that is there's a line at some point where I
It's
think Billy says that it's always been her and Trini.
right,
So if there is a dad, he's just not involved. Maybe the
but then give me a single line of dialogue that says instead of it's always been Trini and Min, it should always be it's always been Trini and Min. You know her father was a deadbeat or is no longer with us or
I mean,
something.
assuming that this was just, like a one night stand kind of a thing, or like to me,
But
it
that
didn't
doesn't fit
necessarily,
Trini either.
right,
No, it doesn't.
but that's fair. I honestly don't think that mattered to that, at least to me, didn't matter as much as like, oh, where happened to the dad or all of that jazz. But it is kind of strange that we don't really get an explanation as to why Zach is the one to become Min's guardian. That I think
To
what should have been
quit
like
Congress.
to be a single dad. Yeah. I mean, it kind of
Like,
makes sense because when you're assuming this is like we're talking about like a congressman in DC, you split your time, you're half in your state, you're half in DC. So that's really hard to do as a single parent.
yeah.
So that kind of tracks in that regard at least. But
Well, based on kind of what we find out at the very end of the special, like what Billy's been up to, because up until that point, I was thinking maybe it would have been a smarter play to have Billy be the guardian. But then I found out,
but they
then we
don't
find out.
explain why.
Yeah.
Like we
Well,
never the
look,
sorry, go ahead.
we all know that the father is Richie, right?
Bring back the best character. Bring back Richie.
Or Raymond, could bring back Raymond. He's the actual
Yeah.
best character in
Raymond,
one of them.
that's
Since he
sorry.
just
Oh my
stands there and
God.
smiles a lot.
I guess it's
Too
our
many.
turn to throw in Easter eggs from the original series.
But yeah, like, if you are going to base the entire special basically around Trini being dead, you're going to base it around Zach and Billy, and literally everyone else in it is a cameo, which is what this essentially is. You need to give me more
Yeah.
about
Yeah.
Trini and her life, and like what would have been really nice is we get, because what we actually get is the episode starts with a text wall, We have Billy getting beaten up a bit. The other Rangers show up. There's some weird alternate dialogue recording with Jason and Tommy.
Mostly
and,
Jason.
And,
yeah.
And Kimmy's voice.
That did not sound like Jason at all. Nope.
Well, Kim's voice was pretty, at least from the bits that I remember, sounded like her. Same thing with Tommy and Trini, but not Jason.
They sounded like they'd been sampled from older episodes.
Because probably were, yeah.
So the audio quality wasn't as high as what.
Yeah, that's true.
And then Trini gets blown up, and then we get 1 year later.
Well, no, we get Billy and Zach going to Mint to break the news about Trini being dead, and then we jump forward a year. Yes. Right.
What would have been really nice is them actually grieving, in like getting to see a bit of them, like just like a time lapse of like maybe a minute and a half of what happens in that year, of like Min and Billy having a fight, of Zach stepping down from Congress and moving in, like build up the relationship so that the very next thing, because the very next thing we see after 1 year later is Min being a martial arts badass, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, own shift.
I would have also, sorry.
Please.
I think what would have also been nice too is because they do all this like flashback stuff, but it's literally like just Min like interacting with the Morpher as it's activating, and she sees visions of her mom being a Power Ranger and all this stuff. But I think what also really would have benefited the story would have been like a flashback to like her as a little girl, and like you obviously have a stand-in actress maybe from the behind or something, but like show like some of her happy memories with her mom, or even have her talk about her mom, because like she doesn't even really like talk about like memories of her mom as much as she's like, I have to avenge her. And it's like, okay.
It's weird because I was fully expecting some kind of flashback with like a stock actress fitting in that role. And I was like waiting for it, and it just didn't happen. I was like, okay, so this is what we're doing then.
Yep. We had too many off color putties to put through tables and stuff.
I think we do have to keep in mind that like we look at Power Rangers from like a writing perspective. We really like in-depth analyze it. We don't really look at it with the same nostalgia goggles that
clear if you go on Twitter that everyone is looking at this through nostalgia goggles.
Yep.
Because everyone's like, I love this. This is awesome. I'm crying. And I'm sat here going, I hate every second of this.
I will say that, like, you know, as someone who grew up with the series, and it was, there are some moments that are really, really cool from that fan perspective, right? Like, seeing David Yost back as a Power Ranger,
but
seeing Zach, like,
that's not, how do I put this? That would be cool in whatever episode it was in.
Yeah, exactly.
It didn't have to be this pile of nonsense that we were provided. This extended lightning collection advert.
Speaking of the extended lightning, I think this is a good segue to your next question.
All right. So what do we think then of Robo Rita? Her motivations, how she comes to be, her look, like, you know, how she's got like a Robo Snizzard and Minotaur. What do we think?
The designs for her two monsters, but my initial reaction to seeing this was like, oh cool, the original actress that voice gave Rita her voice is back. But then I was like, but this is what we're doing? And then I was like, okay, how are they gonna explain it? And then I got an explanation, and then I'm like, but did you have do it this way?
Go back. Press the go back button.
How do I feel about Robo Rita? That is an excellent question. I think of all the options we have, Robo-Rita was the best way they could have executed bringing Rita back.
That's true. Yeah.
Unless they completely recast her. There is a certain logic to the way she came back and the fact that she took over like Alpha 8 or whatever, right? Does that make it good? Not necessarily.
But at least they tried to come up with a logical explanation instead of just like not giving us anything.
Instead of ghost-saying us, yes.
Yeah.
There's a simple explanation for why all this is happening. Yeah,
hey, that's my line.
They instead used that for how Billy is back from Aquitar, in which case they didn't explain it whatsoever.
I just sort of assumed that Billy, after a while, just missed Earth and returned, decided to start Cranston Tech and go to college.
Yeah. Maybe he stole one of those weird bubble ships or something, or he teleported.
Let's be real here. If Tommy can be a paleontologist, anything is possible.
Well, no, I just genuinely thought the implication was if Billy left Aquitar, he was going to die. Anyway.
Yeah, they fixed him. It's fine now.
Sure. Again, a single line of dialogue.
Yeah. After, bear in mind, it's also been like, how long has it been since Zio? Like 28 30, years?
Yeah.
Something like that, 27?
27 years.
So, you know, a lot's changed in that time. So I think I'm honestly like okay with not getting an explanation for that because him going to Aquitar in the first place was stupid.
Right, but it happened. And
yeah, but I'm okay with ignoring it.
Right, but
I don't know.
You can't.
I honestly don't think you can. I feel like that because
especially when at the end of the episode they're like,
oh yeah, because Sestria
misses you,
and Billy just looks like he does not care,
and he's like, yeah, whatever, I'll be home soon.
Like
whatever.
because of the
dinner on,
yeah. So,
that's fair. Like I said, yeah. I'm okay with like because again, there's a lot they packed into this, and it was only 55 minutes. I was kind of surprised. I didn't have any idea of how long it was gonna be. But I think they easily could have pushed it to like another 15 minutes and given us some like just a little bit more from
of everything.
Everything, yeah.
As for your question about the monsters, Brian, I really enjoyed that they brought back Snizzard.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if it was voiced by Bryan Cranston this time.
It was not.
That's right. I forgot he was a former. I was like, I thought it looked familiar.
And
he's too busy being Bryan Cranston. Sorry.
He's too busy being
Zordon
don't care. Now.
Don't mention that. Don't
you're the hey. Oh my God! You're the one that mentioned the 2017 movie this time.
Do not acknowledge the evil.
Oh my God. Everybody take a drink. Ben just acknowledged the 2017 movie.
I don't know what you're talking about. There is no 2017 Power Ranger
day.
Movie.
Oh, happy day.
Hey, Brian, we're talking about the 30th anniversary.
I'm aware. Let me have this, Sasha. Let me have this.
No, absolutely not.
Minotaur was an interesting choice. Because the whole detecting Rangers that morph thing was never part of Minotaur's power set. So they could have attributed that to literally any other monster. And I feel like they could have brought back a more iconic monster like King Sphinx.
Pudgy
Pig. Or literally anyone else.
Eye Guy. Scarecrow.
Yeah.
Pumpkin Wrapper.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the question there is, did they remake these costumes completely for the special?
Because Snizzard was 100% organic before. He wasn't a robot before. So was Minotaur.
No.
So it has to have been original. So yeah, then it like they could have recreated any, maybe because of simplicity's reasons or what they had on hand, this is what they went with.
I don't know.
Possibly.
But yeah, like they'd also just recently brought out the original Snizzard toy as well.
Ah, yes, we're back to Hasbro.
I know I'm being.
All right, sorry everybody, we had a little technical difficulty there, but Ben, going back to this conversation, I believe when we left off, you were talking about Snizzard.
Yeah, it's great because, again, I know I'm being really cynical about this whole Lightning Collection thing, right? But this, I think it comes from the fact that I have no, as it's been clear from the other episodes, I have no nostalgia goggles for Mighty Morphin whatsoever. So when I was watching this episode, the first time, I watched it with a good friend of mine, Tim. He's one of our listeners. Shout out to Double T. And I just, the moment that they cut back and there was all the different Rangers in the machine, I just said out loud, I forgot I was watching this with Tim, and I said, "Wow, that's a whole lot of Lightning Collection figures," and he just started laughing. And you know that Robo Reach is going to be a figure. You know that Robo Snizzard is going to be a figure. You know that Min as the Yellow Ranger is going to be a figure, and you know that Robo Minotaur is going to be a figure.
I just want Billy's car.
The new Rad Bug, or do you mean the
Yes.
actual car that was there?
Both?
Yeah.
I love the new Rad Bug.
I am a fan of the new Rad Bug. I'm
It's a
glad
good
that they came
design.
back. But yeah, what I think is more interesting for when we since we're talking about Robo Rita is the fact that if Rita's essence is from the Z-Wave is still out there, so is everyone else that was affected by the Z-Wave. So like Zed's still out there.
It does explain certain things from certain more recent seasons a little
No, it
bit.
doesn't,
No.
because
Oh, that's right. It doesn't. Dang it.
in Beast Morphers, he was a virtual construct.
Right.
And in Dino Fury, he was a clone.
Wait, does that mean we can get what's his name? Ecliptor back? Because I liked him.
Maybe.
I liked Ecliptor too.
We all loved Ecliptor. To go back a little bit, the one thing that sort of irritated me, I think, about Robo Rita, and maybe this is part of like again not watching this with nostalgia goggles, but I'm pretty sure they used the Hedic line at least twice,
Yeah.
and it really wasn't funny in the original show. So to hear it twice in this was just a little bit grating,
There's a
but it
mo
was really cool to get Rita's voice.
Yeah. I think short of something that I'm sure will come up later, hearing Rita again might have been my favorite thing about the entire special.
Speaking of, can I just get a clarification on Rita's evil plot here? So just so that I'm clear, she was correct. She collected some rangers to take their morphing energy. This is how science works here, sure. To power up this machine that would take her back in time so that she could basically tell her, the OG Rita, everything that's going to happen so she could defeat the Rangers.
And kill the original Rangers in their sleep,
Ah, yes. That was important.
which
Okay.
I have been campaigning for since season one. Thumbs up to Robo Rita for finally listening to voices from the grid. Simon Bennett, you're listening. I hear you. Now just put us in the show.
Or help us, let us write the show.
Let us help write the show. I'm not
Yeah.
writing 40 episodes of nonsense every week.
No, definitely. No. We're not gonna write the whole
We
thing.
will
We're
be
just gonna
plot
be writing consult
consultants.
very
Plot
highly high
consultants.
paid writing consultants.
But yeah, that was Robo Rita's plan.
At least it makes sense as a plan.
It does. However, this is another. It's another sort of nudge to me that some of the more recent series and or what is more likely once and always takes place in a slightly different dimension.
Why do you say that?
Because why does she need to collect Power Rangers to get morphing energy when Morphex exists? Which is literally tapping into the power of the morphing grid.
But do we know that Rita knows anything about what's going on in the present?
Absolutely. Go ahead and look at the Rangers that are on her machine. Both the gold red Beast Morpher Rangers are there.
That's a really great point.
To the city where Morphex is.
Maybe the machine can't run on Morphex because there's a very simple explanation.
I was gonna say
Morphex is like a newer thing, right? And although they sort of explain how it works, either the machine itself wasn't built with the knowledge of Morphex.
But the machine was built off of knowledge that Robo Rita has, which means it has all the knowledge that Alpha 8 had. And that's from Cranston Industries, who built stealth technology for Space Patrol Alpha. Stealth technology so good,
you can only use it once.
Can't see through it.
Wow!
All right. Well, next question.
Did we just find a plot hole that was like the size of like a pizza pie or something? I don't know.
One I could point out either.
Or maybe Morphex wasn't enough to power the machine, or she couldn't get enough of it.
Have you watched Beast Morphers? They keep it in huge silos.
Well, I don't know. Maybe a lot's changed since Beast Morphers ended.
Yeah.
There's regulations on Beast X or
Morphex now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Underground.
Maybe Zach actually passed legislation on that as a congressman to regulate how.
Yeah, it sure would have been nice to see that. Or even
that would have been cool.
See a headline on it. Like a paper, like just on a new, on a, like they managed
well,
to work,
remember.
They managed to work a freaking Buzz Blast TikTok into the show from Dino Fury.
Yeah.
When Min sees the attack on Ernie's juice bar.
Oh, yeah.
It's on Buzz Blast from Dino Fury.
You're right.
Oh, my
You're
God.
Right.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
The reporter is even one of the reporters from Dino Fury.
That's a nice nod to the current season.
Yeah, they literally said that they were going to go set up a Buzz Blast in Angel Grove
at
the
end
final
of Dino
episode.
Fury. Yep.
So
I haven't gotten that far, so I'm still making it through Dino Fury. But anyway,
it's worth it.
Yeah,
I completely agree. Let's go ahead and switch gears a little bit and talk about the real heroes of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, that Bulk and Skull cameo. It wasn't even a cameo.
They were pictured on
billboard.
A sign.
Yeah. So the reason I even... Sorry.
No, go ahead.
The reason I even bothered bringing this up is because the last time that we saw Skull was in Samurai. And I guess you could also say Bulk. Mm-hmm. And if I remember correctly, Skull was a multimillionaire.
Yep. And he and Bulk were not on speaking terms.
Nope. So
even though he had sent his son to hang out with Bulk for
the entire show.
Entire run of Samurai, they weren't on speaking terms.
Can we say Samurai takes place in a different universe and be done with it?
No.
It does not, unfortunately.
We know it doesn't for sure because, well, there may be a samurai team in this reality because one of the ones that scrolls past when they enact the Bandora Protocol is Osaka.
That's true.
Which is where
or could have just been a nice nod to the Sentai.
Maybe.
Possibly.
I'm sorry, your question was about Bulk and Skull.
Bulk and Skull.
So we'll
yeah.
talk about that. I do like the idea of them coming back together.
Yeah.
And it is nice that they at least didn't forget about them completely, but they decided to open up their own Costco.
I love I don't think that Bulk and Skull weren't in the show for any reason other than I don't think the actors would have turned the opportunity down. Just especially for the 30th anniversary. I might be wrong, but I don't know. I quite like the idea that after Samurai, Bulk and Skull got back together and mended whatever bridges had been burnt between them. I don't know. Bulk without a Skull is like Bert without Ernie.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't work for me.
Same here. It's like they are a team as classic as like Laurel and Hardy and, you know, Abbott and Costello. They, yeah. You know, it's just they're, you know, Jay and Silent Bob. I mean, you know, like they're thicker than thieves. So to see them back together was, even if it's like on a poster, it's like, oh, this is what they're doing now. Right on. You know?
Yeah.
And the fact that it's in food, I don't know.
Yeah, that was a nice little nod to them.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I
would have loved to have seen them.
Me too.
Especially considering we know that, well, we still don't know how Bulk got back from Mirinoi.
Details.
And then
it wasn't really Bulk on Mirinoi in the first place.
It was a scroll or something. I don't know. I'm kidding.
Well, you got these out of K.
They got off at the first stop at KO 35.
Yeah. I don't know. It just did. If we are about celebrating everything that is MMPR, which is what this episode should have been about, right? I think Bulk and Skull deserve more.
Yeah, that's fair.
They were 100% again, and I will give once and always credit for portraying the Rangers as functional human beings.
Yeah, props there.
And not the stereotypical do-goody.
Never do anything wrong and always do the right thing teenagers that are perfectly perfect in every way. Yes.
I very much enjoyed that.
Yeah.
But the only people that can be said to have said been that throughout all of the Zordon era are Bulk and Skull.
Well, maybe we can rehash that on the 30th anniversary of Power Rangers in Space.
Yeah, hopefully.
We can dream.
That'd be nice to be one of those. So if we have no other thoughts on Bulk and Skull, then why don't we just go ahead? This actually leads into another question I have, which is really good. So as we've established at this point, Zach is a former congressman, Kat is a mom, Billy is basically a good version of Elon Musk, and Rocky is a firefighter. What do we think of where these Rangers are at this stage of their lives?
Can I say?
Is this going to be a Rocky being a firefighter indoors?
My single favorite thing in the entire 58-minute runtime of this thing was Rocky wanting his noodles.
Me too.
I was just
in love
with it.
He was so upset that Alpha threw them out.
I loved it. That bit at the end is like, dude, that was my lunch. Like,
Rocky just wants to have lunch.
Yeah.
but you're missing a couple of Rangers in there. Your little run through there, because while Kat is a mom and Rocky's a firefighter and Billy and Zach are Billy and Zach, Aisha and Adam are up in space, and I think Ben's going to have an aneurysm, where they are traveling with Space Patrol Alpha. And deep breaths, Ben. It's okay. So I guess we'll come back to that. So I will say, I think Rocky being a firefighter was kind of surprising, because I just assumed he'd still be on his karate studio, but that's fine. Cat being a mom, I think, is fine. She mentioned that son. I think it's fine.
No, it isn't. That whole love story, stupid, doesn't make any sense. I've stand by this since Dino's Thunder.
That's fine. You can stand by it. But in terms of how much I care about where the characters are,
it's fine for her to be a mom. Yeah. But the whole then doubling down on the JJ thing and the relationship with Tommy is just.
We don't care.
So that whole, what is it, the Spirit of the Dragon thing where JJ is. I would have thought, I don't know, like, I just think it's kind of funny that out of all the things, Rocky's a firefighter. I don't know why. I would not have picked that as his career, just because, I don't know, I figured he would have been doing something else, but it's a fine profession for him, I guess. But I think the biggest question for me too, like, because obviously we're seeing where these Rangers are at this point in time, and I guess this is kind of a secondary question too. I know this isn't like the Zia reunion too, but like, going back to how we were talking about how like very little gets explained, or how there could have been something that's written off, like, we find out that, you know, we can duplicate the power coins now, which we don't even really learn how they were able to bring back the coins at all.
Well,
but then
in all fairness, the coins have been back for a while.
Yeah, Tommy had that Master Morpher on the 25th anniversary special.
Adam had the Mastodon coin.
Yeah.
Adam had the Mastodon coin in space.
Yep.
It was cracked, but he had it. So,
and then
in Overdrive, his powers are restored fully by the knight there. Whoever it was that brought them all together. But yes, it was a really nice excuse for Kat to say the thing. About too much pink energy. But there's this little moment like where I think it's Rocky is like, hang on a minute. Zordon said that duplicating active powers was dangerous. Or it might have been Zach. It was one of the two. And
I think it was Zach.
They were just like, yeah, but hand wave. And then it's never actually dangerous. Like, there's no backfire to it at all. There's no...
Yeah, they don't really, like... I assumed it would have been fine if it was used temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you know, towards the end, they would have had to, like, either stop or whatever else, or recharge them somehow, but that never happened.
Sure.
And we're like, okay, fine, it's fine, it's fine.
Which is fine if they just had a little line which was like, actually, we can use them temporarily, right? If they just had a little, again, so many little things could be solved by like one line of dialogue.
I have another thing too, like, and just to hear me out on this, I want your opinion on this. But what if it was okay for them to access those power coins because of the fact that Jason and Kimberly's powers were being drained at that point? So, you know, okay, it's not going to overload the grid or whatever.
Oh, again, because you don't have two competing sets of powers on the same level, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with the fact that they duplicated the coins, right?
Sure.
I have a problem with the fact that they duplicated the coins, set up that it could be dangerous, and that went nowhere.
Yeah.
Just don't include the line.
Yeah.
Or pay it off. One of the two.
Because if you say a thing, then like that's gonna it should like you've said before, like if you set up a thing in a story, then it should come up again somewhere, or it should be paid off somewhere. It's like, oh, there's a reason why they're bringing this up. Instead of it just being like, oh, that's fine. And yeah, so I don't know. I was just thinking though, would this have been a good time to also try and mention what happened to the Zeo powers at all, or just not even bother?
Because you mean the Zeo powers that are represented in this episode? Because at one point, a morphed Tanya is put into the machine as Zeo Yellow.
Oh my god. Yeah. Okay, so the Zeo powers are back somehow. Okay.
So why doesn't Kat have her Zeo powers?
Explanation.
Because
this is the 30th anniversary of Mighty Morphin, and we're not using Zeo.
Oh, I've got a headache.
They'll come back to this during like the Zeo special.
Yeah.
My point being. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I had that exact same question. I'm like, Cal was actually never the pink pterodactyl ranger, but okay.
She was.
No, she wasn't.
Oh, no, she was the pink ninja.
Yeah.
And before that, she was the thunder bird.
No, that was still Kimberly.
Was it?
Remember, yeah, Kim left after the ninja stuff.
Oh, in season three. Yeah. There's also a moment where Kat's like, after all these years, they still like sound like angry turkeys. And I'm like, you never fought putties.
No, she didn't. Well,
she was around putties, though, because Rita recruited Kat, remember? Were they? Huh.
Did Kat ever fight a putty? Well, maybe.
Details. Guys, you're asking way too much out of this.
Anyway.
Okay.
This is like, although I guess if we're comparing this entire special to the nonsense of the original series, this fits pretty nicely.
Yeah, it's a very, very, very
it's very on par.
Right, yeah. So to go back to a certain question that was asked earlier about Rangers and where they are now.
Is this going to be a point where you talk about Adam?
Oh boy, here we go.
Because this was a Mighty Morphing episode, I can understand that the presence of Zach would make Adam having at least a morphed role complicated. However, I think that Adam and Aisha got absolutely screwed over here.
Yeah.
At the cost of making a reference to SPD. The moment that Trini died, Aisha should have swept up that power coin. Like Trini, like there's a moment in the episode where Alpha and Billy are like, we spent 6 months trying to get the Sabretooth Tiger Zord to work without Trini. And I'm like, Aisha.
Aisha's in space. She's busy.
Not for a year, she doesn't need to be. They could have just been like, hey, Aisha, can you take leave for a while?
No, she was too busy dodging the Cherubian Empire. Which, not gonna lie, I kind of did appreciate the SPD reference.
Right, but then we're not. But another reason why I think this takes place in another reality is no one on Earth has heard of the Trubians until SPD.
Well, we don't necessarily know that because.
Yes, we do, because Kruger has to explain who the Trubians are.
Well, it could be one of those things where, like, certain people know, but it's not common knowledge. Because remember, this is B Squad. They weren't exactly read in from the beginning. But I do see your point. I did think it was kind of weird that they made a big deal about, like, Ming becoming the next Yellow Ranger when like Aisha was there. And I didn't really even acknowledge the fact that she was also a Yellow Ranger.
Just said that.
Yes, I'm agreeing with
Okay.
you.
Oh,
That's
okay.
where I'm
I thought
going
you
with this.
would. I thought it was more you were taking my point and
No, no, no,
restating
no,
it
no,
as your
no.
own.
I'm adding to your point by saying
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
that
Yeah. For sure.
having Ming take on the legacy of the Yellow
Yeah.
Ranger was ultimately unnecessary.
Like there should have been just that moment when after Trini had died, that they put in a call
Yes.
to SPA and be like, "Hey, we need Aisha on Earth for
I
6 months, 12 months."
really think that this entire special would have been more interesting if it was, I guess, if it had either been about all of the Rangers coming back together and dealing with grief, over losing Trini and all this jazz and then fighting Roborita, or you take, if you want to like spice it up a little bit, make it about what the Rangers have been up to and how they've worked together and have the threat be related to that. So, like, what do I mean by that? In the sense that, like, you really could have made this whole thing take place on another planet, that looks like New Zealand, and have the entire conflict be about, you know, setting up space patrol or, you know, something interrelated, because they're, I don't know, addressing any of the other plot points that were established within the original series that were later abandoned.
The thing is this was a Mighty Morphin
Yes.
thing. So I understand that not wanting to be the thing of the setting, like I understand wanting the focus to be on Mighty Morphin Rangers.
At the
I
same
think
time, there's
what
still a
would have
lot of they could have done. Like,
right.
if the focus is going to be on Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, okay, maybe this could be about like establishing some continuity within the previous series to establish the fact that the reason things like the Master Morpher exist, which they sort of hint at, is that like, you know, Billy invented it and that, you know, Billy's been focused on restoring Rangers' lost powers for whatever reason. And then have that tie into like maybe the Rangers get, you know, Roborita still shows up because, you know, they're collecting energy particles in the search for Zordon. And then the story is them being cut off from all of the other Ranger teams and having to sort of get back in the saddle.
Yeah, what I think would have been a much, and this might just be me, right?
That's okay.
I think what would have been a much more interesting story is if when the episode starts, Billy and Zach aren't Rangers anymore.
Yeah.
They're the ones shepherding a new generation of Mighty Morphin Rangers, which would have explained why we had Mighty Morphin Rangers and Beast Morphers, right?
The issue then, though.
Instead, we're trying to justify the fact that Billy and Zack and that have apparently been Rangers for 30 years. But what would have been really interesting is if that younger generation had been taken out and the older generation have to step back into the mantle.
Ooh. That would have been cool. That would
I
have been
think
really
the issue
cool.
with that then would have been, you know, what to do with the these like random five teenagers that have appeared on the special and like will never appear in
They
anything else again.
will be the ones that get put into Rita's machine. Right?
Okay.
See, you don't include a Green Ranger at all.
I Very rarely do I like the idea of legacies, which is maybe part of the many reasons why Ming becoming like, you know, the saber-toothed tiger bothers me. Because I like the fact that Ranger powers, to for the most part, are original to each new team, and there's some like differences between it. So like, if maybe the design, like maybe, and I don't know if this is where you're going, Brian, but maybe if they had borrowed from like Sentai suits from another series, because I'm sure there's a whole bunch of Sentai suits that were not used in
There's at least
Megaforce.
20.
Yeah, that like would have been integrated. So then you could say like, oh, those powers are being drained. But then again, you still run into this issue of having like another team of Rangers that only sort of exist for the special, unless you would have reused those suits for like instead of like a second season of Dino Fury or Cosmic Fear or whatever for the next season.
If I can too, just kind of
Yeah,
like
go for
playing
it.
off of, just playing off of what Ben said, and I'll make this really brief, but like we all know that like Hasbro and what is it, E1 have been rumored to be making like a new Power Rangers universe where it was going to spin off or it was going to be a brand new thing or whatever. So if we're going to go with Ben's idea where it's like, hey, we have five new Rangers and like they get taken off the shelf, but you're being kind of introduced to them, and then the old team has to come in and like take their place to be able to save them, then why not have that new team of five be the team for the reboot moving forward?
I just
Because
think.
I think we're asking, because I think at the end of the day, this is what we said at the beginning. This was not about a new season. This was not about the future of Power
Sure.
Rangers. This was very much about the past.
Sure, but it could also tease the future at the same time while respecting the past.
Which is why I'm saying if you have a series of younger people who have taken over the mantle of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, who then get put on the shelf and are then Zach, Billy, Rocky, Cat, and AN Yellow Ranger, be it Aisha, or bring Nikita Burrows back to play Tanya, maybe, even though she was never technically a Mighty Morphin Ranger. I think that is a much better way to look to the future and honor the past than it is to give us Min Kwan, who might be one of the most annoying characters in Power Rangers history, and try and set up a legacy that way. And I know that I'm in the minority here, and I know that a lot of people loved Once and Always, but I could not stand Min in any way. It wasn't well acted, wasn't well written. She didn't just.
Can I just
Yeah.
point out, I knew the second I didn't like her came from one line. It was when it was in the right after the whole 1 year later thing where Zach is getting ready because they're gonna go to the like whatever. Ben's already mouthing it. And she goes, yeah, you know, I lose track of time when I'm getting my sweat on. And my reaction was like, first of all, who talks like that?
Teenagers nowadays.
I'm never having children if this is how they're gonna turn out. But yeah, I was just like, you can't just say, yeah, I was getting my workout and lost track of time. You don't have to turn everything into like a thing. And I guess I don't know if you had a separate question about Ming, but she, I know she's a, I know it's like sort of, you know, we're comparing adults, adult Rangers to a teenage girl. And all of the Power Rangers are to have some extent have been teenagers or just like right after being teenagers. You know, people that are like, you know, graduated high school or maybe like college age. But she felt, I think, in many ways, she felt more like an annoying teenager than a lot of other Rangers have, except maybe Justin. But at
That's
the
saying
same
a
time,
lot.
I'm one of those people that never had a huge problem with Justin. But we'll get to that when we get to that.
Yeah.
So yeah, she was just, I get what they were trying to do with her. It was really funny when she kept trying to activate the morpher, and I was just like, it's not gonna
I
happen.
hated it.
It
There
was
was a moment
funny.
where she tries to activate the Morpher, and then she's taken prisoner by Rita and Snizzard the Minotaur. And I'm just like, destroy the Morpher now. Destroy the Morpher now. Destroy the Morpher. But there was a moment when she's brought to the command center for the first time, and Zach's giving her the little pep talk on the side. He says something like, you want to go out there and get hurt playing Ranger? And she's like, isn't that what you and mom did? And I'm like, no, because they were actually Rangers. They weren't playing anything.
And they had powers that they could use to fight the bad guys.
They were superheroes. Just another thing that really annoyed, and this might be this on the scale of things that should have annoyed me about this episode and did, this should not rank as high as it did. And that is no Power Ranger ever, 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 ever should have to morph to beat a Putty in a fight. Because by the end of Mighty Morphin Season 2, they were blowing those things up without even thinking about it. And Mighty Morphin are not even close to the strongest Ranger team.
Well, they're also not exactly the youngest Power Ranger team, and we really don't know
But
how
I'm talking
long
about
they've
the
been.
other Rangers around the world.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, Putties are sent everywhere to force the Rangers to morph so Minotaur can fight them. I'm telling you for a fact, right now, the Jungle Fury Rangers would eat Putties alive.
Yeah.
Or mow them down with a
The
red bug.
Mystic Force Rangers would just cast spells. They wouldn't need to morph.
Because they still
It,
have their wands and everything.
it's funny that you mentioned this because I think I saw something on Twitter. I don't remember who said it or
Carter Grayson would just run them over in a car.
You mean he's
Yeah,
not going to shoot first and ask questions later?
I saw something. I think, I don't know if it was David Yost or Walter Jones who said something. I forget what the conversation is. I'll try and get it to y'all. But I saw something where it was like the excuse that was given for morphing to fight a putty was, "Hey, I'm close to 50," and like.
No. It makes sense for Billy and Zach's characters to have to morph because they're not really Rangers anymore. They're getting up there in age. They're not young and spry. The issue is how easily Rita captured so many former Rangers.
You compare, say, a putty, right? That, let's be honest, at the end of like season one, beginning of season two of Mighty Morphin, unmorphed teenagers were beating up and running off. To say any of the bad guys from Beast Morphers. There is no way the Beast Morpher team would need to morph to beat a putty.
No.
There's no way the I would go so far as to say there's no neat way the samurai team would need to morph because they have swords. Like it doesn't make any sense to me that Rita's secret plan was we're going to force Rangers to morph so
By
we can
unleashing some
find
putties.
them by releasing putties.
Yeah.
If you release actual monsters around the world, fine. But putties, get out. And as I
I
said, it
also
shouldn't have bothered me
speaking
as
of
much as it
things.
does.
So there was some bit, and I wish I had written it down, but I think it was like at one point when they were talking about like Rita's ploy, and my first reaction is call time force, call time force, call time force.
And then Jen Scott's gonna slap some. And then there's this moment, the first time that they go to Angel Grove to save people from the putties, Billy just rocks up and shoots one and it explodes. Right? And I'm like, you
Oh,
have a
yeah.
gun that can kill putties. Just shoot them all.
Nah.
And we see later in the episode that he can summon that gun unmorphed.
Yep. When they're in Rita's palace.
Yeah,
Props to them for recreating the juice bar.
yeah.
Yeah. I read something about how, what is it, what is it, the Heroes of the Grid, or the Battle for the Grid mobile game. They actually used the measurements from that because they wanted to get that as right as possible in game. So they actually
So
used the measurements that were
hold
taken.
on. Hold on one Kirby second. They wanted to get the dimensions of the juice bar correctly so they could recreate it.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Mazel tov, brilliant plan. But they didn't put that much effort into writing the plot of this episode.
Sure.
I guess different department.
Definitely a different department.
It's like
I don't think the writing department and the art
props department.
department,
Yeah, clearly.
yeah, they're clearly not even sharing like the same wing
Brian, you got more
of the
questions for
studio.
us?
I do, yes. Okay, so obviously Billy, we find out Billy was trying to find Zordon, which is already weird. But I guess you could say, because Rita, at least her essence comes back, okay, maybe Zordon's still out there somewhere.
But don't forget, he was looking for Zordon before he discovered Rita, though.
Sure.
Yeah.
So okay, he's trying to find Zordon, and we find out about like how Robo Rita's created. And we get this fake out because it's been one of the most prominent things in the promotional material. Is, hey, look, here's the command center, and we see the tube, and it's got like a crack in it. And everybody assumed, oh, that's probably like somehow, even though it looks different, like the same tube that like Andros hit in Countdown to
Yeah, they
Destruction.
stole it from Astronomus' ship.
So, what do we think of this fake out? And what do we also think about Billy trying to find Zordon? And what kind of, if they like, let's say they do a sequel, like, what kind of repercussions do you think this all has? Like, what do you think is the fallout of all this?
First of all, I don't think anybody actually, like, no offense to the original Rangers, because I understand, like, Zordon was their mentor, or yada, 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 but, like, the whole point of the Z-Wave is that Zordon sacrifices himself to stop the evil, and that neutralizes like all the evil in the universe or whatever nonsense, except for the other bits from the other aliens that come later.
And then
But that
Lost
is to
Galaxy
say,
happens.
right? Like, but my point is that Zordon's sacrifice is supposed to be permanent.
Yes.
It's not like just a sky beam. It's something that had real repercussions. And while I'm glad they gave us a semi-plausible explanation for the existence of Robo Rita, I think the search for Zordon is ultimately unnecessary and pointless. I don't think we don't need Zordon back. Nobody needs Zordon back. The whole point is that he's gone and we have to do without. And then to the point about the crack, I actually thought it was a nice homage, or like a remembrance of Zordon's sacrifice, or I guess of Andros's what is it, the stabbing of Zordon, you know, Zordon's tube, the breaking of Zordon's tube, the slashing of Zordon's tube, not tomb. So I thought it was a nice touch and a way to, like, I guess, honor Zordon's memory and his sacrifice. But the search for Zordon, unnecessary, other than to explain how Robo Rita came to be. I think continuing that search, if these entities exist as particles, is better left untouched unless we want the return of Dark Spectre. I'm not interested in doing Countdown to Countdown to Destruction for a third time. It shouldn't have been done twice. Looking at you, Mega Force.
Well, it's done in pretty much every end of every season at this point. Everything goes wrong.
I mean, everything going wrong, but this, yes, but
I think it makes sense. So
yeah.
we have to remember that at the end of the day, this is a Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. The word I want to use, I can't because of the rating of this show.
Find a substitute.
That's what I'm working on. It is a celebration of all things Season 1 Mighty Morphin. right? At the end of the day, that is the star of the show here. As such, I think it makes sense for Billy to be looking for Zordon. There was something, someone said something about a father figure at one point, and I just laughed. But
yeah, that was funny.
I think it makes sense for them to be looking for him and want to bring him back. I don't think they should ever succeed. I don't think they should even have gotten as far as they did. But it would be much like it would be wrong to tell a story that involves season one of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers so front and center in focus without referencing Twee Trang and JDF. It would be wrong to do it without at least referencing Zordon in some way.
That's fair.
And I think, given the situation that people find them in, find themselves in, posts, or sorry, the position that Zordon finds himself in, posts Countdown to Destruction, there are very few ways that they could have made Zordon at least an active part of the story without there just being some sort of archival footage, right? You can put a person in the Green Ranger suit, use overdub of JDF, and say that's Tommy. You can do the same with Trini. It's really difficult to get an active role from Zordon, mainly because he's a head in a tube. I don't know. Anyway. What's next?
Fair enough. Okay, so Dasha, this question is probably not going to interest you at all, but what did you think of the way that the Megazord looked, and what did you think of the fight at the end?
I thought it looked awful.
Yeah.
The CGI was awful.
Yeah, it looked bizarre.
Quite clear that they'd just taken the Zord Ascension Project Zords and put them in one of those face scanners they used to, like, get, like, people's likenesses for, like, sports games.
It gave me a flashback to Power Rangers the movie that I did not need.
Yeah.
I did not appreciate.
100%.
I didn't think it was that bad, but it was close.
No. It was not. Nothing could ever be that bad again.
Yeah.
But it was still not great. It was rough.
If that if the 1993 movie is apples, this was definitely oranges.
Yes. Right? It was terrible. It was terrible in 95, actually, if I remember correctly.
It was still closer.
Fair enough. I get that. But I don't know. It's terrible, but like a different kind of terrible. I thought that the hips were like way too wide and like the legs were too short or something, or I don't know. It just didn't look right to me.
Well,
you paid attention to the length of the legs on the Megazord. Like, major props to Brian for detail, like, here.
Don't get me wrong. It was really nice to see them reconstruct the whole Megazord sequence.
Yeah.
Right. However, the actual CGI was poor. And I've said it very clearly, this was clearly the Zach and Billy show, and everyone else was a cameo, right? With maybe the exception of Min. That was quite clear by the fact that when they all went into the Megazord at the end, Billy was still in the main seat.
Yep.
And not the Red Ranger, as it should have been.
Yep.
I don't know. The Megazord stuff all bounced off me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we also have to, like, I think, like, for us, you... it's... Oh, please go ahead, Ben.
Why did you spend 6 months trying to figure out, what did you make a huge deal about, oh, trying to make six? You used like precious airtime to give me a line that says, oh, we spent like 6 months trying to get the saber-toothed tiger and Zord to work without Trini, right? And then it never comes into play because the Yellow Ranger is right there the whole time.
Yep.
Use that time to explain something that needed explaining.
I think something that we also have to keep in mind is that I think for us, compared to a lot of other fans, the Mighty Morphin era is a little bit more fresh because, we're still airing our Zeo episodes. We're gearing up to record Turbo. So Mighty Morphin for us was not quite as long ago because we've already sort of rewatched all of it. So some of the stuff I think also like hits a little bit differently for even for us, our those of us who've watched the show from the beginning. But yeah, I would have like I like the fact that the show was kind of the Billy and Zach show. I just wish we would have done more with that part of it and less on Ming.
Sorry.
No, go ahead, Graham.
If I can give just like an aside for anybody that's listening, it's like if I wonder, and I'll make this brief, but like I wonder if the toy actually helped with getting this Megazord footage filmed or shot, if only because right now the technology that they're using on King Gojer and they've used on Dawn Brothers is very similar to what this Megazord fight looked like. They're using very similar technologies because they like in Dawn Brothers they used CG like this and it looks pretty similar. So I wonder if I'm sure that at the very least Toei was probably like, hey, use this technology. So but it makes me wonder just like I would love to see like a behind the scenes of like how they did some of this stuff. Let me see here. And I'm sorry, I didn't know if I was cutting you off on anything, but
No, you're fine.
did you have anything else that you wanted to
Nope.
talk about with the Megazord fight? All
No.
right.
There's a big old pile of pants.
Big old file of pants. And let's see. Okay, I guess that's all the questions I had. If you wanted to talk about anything else openly, the floor is yours.
There's a couple of things I want to talk about. First of all, how good was it to hear Richard Steven Horvitz back as Alpha?
Oh my
So
gosh.
good. So good.
I'm so happy about that.
That was great.
Second of all, I kind of geeked out when Cat actually shot the power bow. I really enjoyed that. If you were going to bring back Rita, I wish you'd brought back more of her entourage.
You miss Squad and Babu that much.
Like Scorpina
Oh, that would have been cool.
Scorpina.
or like Goldar or Rito or
Oh, Rito.
Finster. At the end of the day, this is supposed to be a celebration of all things Mighty Morphin. The issue is, it starts off on such a dour note with Trini's death.
Yep.
And then most of the rest. Now, I'm not saying this is exclusive to Power Rangers, because 90% of anything that does a special now in the 90s. That came out in the 90s, it does special now, is going to be about the next generation, right? Like Bill and Ted did it in Bill and Ted 3. Like it just. I didn't. The issue with. And again, I can't say I've gone through exactly what Ming went through because my dad wasn't murdered by an international terrorist as
Intergalactic, you mean?
intergalactic terrorist, as Snizzard calls her. But I lost my father. But I don't know. And again, this might be the fact that I'm so out of touch with today's youth, but she came off as incredibly entitled. She came off as whiny. She didn't come across as someone who does who what. And again, I know the idea was about her evolving into the role of a Power Ranger, but the way they made that happen with her like jumping in front of the beam that was going to kill Billy, and then the Morpher getting hit and all the weird brain stuff seeing her mom didn't feel like it had been earned.
No, that's pretty much how teenagers are right now. This is how pretty much
Yeah,
this generation exists.
I'm incredibly out of touch with the youth.
Now, she was unfortunately a rather accurate depiction of the modern youth to some extent. No, I agree with you. I saw it coming, but I was still like, ugh.
I'm just imagining Zach just like saying, "Am I out of touch?" No, it's the children who are wrong.
And like,
Anyways.
again, yes, she may have been a quote unquote typical teenager, but then we're shown right after the 1 year later that she's not a typical teenager and she's been training in martial arts her whole life and she's been trying to learn to be more like her mom. So it's like, then why are you acting like a spoiled brat? Because Trini would never do that.
Yeah.
And the fact that not once in a year did Zach take Min aside and be like, "Hey, Billy, blah, 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 blah," as he does in this episode, makes me wonder why Zach hates Billy. Because Zach basically let Min hate Billy for a year.
Well, the challenge is that we don't really know what happened in that year. And it's possible that like either Zach didn't see it or Billy distanced himself or whatever. But there is that moment where she sort of snaps at Billy and basically blames him for everything. And I'm just like, whoa. And then we don't really get a moment to really digest the implications of that, or Billy having a conversation with Zach about it. We get an apology at the very end, and Billy just sort of dis kind of just says, "Yeah, it's okay. I've said that to myself." I wish it would have leaned a little bit more into the seriousness of it all. Because again, like, yes, it's about Mighty Morphin. Yes, it's about nostalgia, but it's also the 30th anniversary. And if it's about, the beginnings of the next generation, that you sort of have to, at the very least, acknowledge the fact that your audience is roughly the same age as Billy and Zach.
Oof.
And like, I wish it, this is one of the things where like, I wish, this is why I tend to like a lot of the more serious, slightly more serious and less camp seasons of Power Rangers is because I feel like it's made for older fans instead of 10-year-olds. And that's not to say every season has to be adult or every season has to be for 10-year-olds, but when a season gets to be a little bit more serious, just a little bit, I do think it tends to work better overall. But I wish the show had sort of, I wish the special had grown up a little bit more.
Well, we have our second ever on-screen Ranger death,
That's
right?
true.
Behind Kendricks,
Yeah.
who didn't stay dead. Who
There's
knew?
a very simple explanation.
She got better.
Dino Fury. So the special starts by setting up the fact that it's going to try and be more adult because it shows a death. It shows Zach and Billy dealing with the fact that they now have to tell Trini's daughter about everything and how they're going to do it and all this stuff. And then the 1 year later mark happens and it's all instantly gone.
Yep.
Right? It's almost like they wrote a script, didn't like part of it, and just went back to 1 year later and rewrote it all as a completely different episode.
Mm.
It's more in line with the actual 80s, 90s show, sorry.
Yeah,
this will come up when we start recording our Turbo episodes. But Turbo was an opportunity for the franchise to grow up, right? And they did not take it. Yes, it grew up a little bit in Space, but that's mainly because of the dire end part of In Space. And there have been other seasons where the Rangers are grown and things are a little more serious. But Turbo was an opportunity where the franchise could evolve and grow up. And as Sasha said, there was an opportunity to show the Mighty Morphin Rangers having done that. And they just didn't. Even when you brought in like Cat and Rocky, I think it's absolutely awesome that they made Rocky a firefighter, personally. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the sort of thing that you could see. Like, I know we joked a hell of a lot during Zio and during season 3 about Rocky being all brains and just bring no brains into the muscle of the team, right?
Because he had trouble with doors. Yes.
But in all seriousness, I could see him becoming a firefighter.
Yeah.
Like, it's perfect for him. It's a way to help people, especially after...
At this point, he's probably a fire captain.
Yeah.
Because wasn't he like an instructor or something? Because there's something about a drill, and then he was going to get lunch.
Oh, he says this is another drill when they summoned him for the Bandora Protocol.
Oh, that's right.
Meaning that they'd run drills for the Bandora Protocol.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I love that they made him a firefighter. I wish they could have lent into that a bit more. I will be honest, while it's fine for Kat to be a mom, I wish they'd done a little bit more with her that they could have done something with on screen. Like, even when she finds out that Tommy's been captured by Rita, her reaction's just like,
it's a Tuesday.
Yeah. Not like,
oh no, my husband is...
Oh wait, the last time that Rita got hold of a Ranger, she killed it.
Yeah, there is sort of not a lot of, they're like, oh my gosh, the Rangers have been captured, but there's not a lot of emotional, like, fodder for the fact that,
like Cash,
they could die.
Yeah. And then there's a moment after they capture Snizzard and Minotaur on the Magnet, and they go back to the command center, and Min is like, wait, you're just going to leave him there? And Billy's like, outright destruction is very rarely the best course of action. I'm like, have you watched any of your Megazord fights ever?
Mm-hmm.
Where you cut them in half and then they explode?
No. That's okay, because all those fights happen in the abandoned warehouse district. Because that's okay when that gets destroyed. That's not real destruction. Well, no, it's abandoned. I mean,
but the monsters. You destroy the monsters. And then they go to Rita's moon palace and they're like, oh, these snakes are linked to Snizzard. We need to destroy Snizzard. After having done a whole 30 to 45 second serious moment between Min and Billy about not destroying Snizzard.
Well, that was then. This is now.
And then I think it's only no, it's Rocky. He's just like, well, back to the junkyard then. And then they just never, and then like they're interrupted by Rita and Min. And it's like,
It's again, I think, I don't know what the issue is on the writing side. Is it, are the writers like just not interested in telling a more complex story or what it
or
might
one that
be?
makes sense
At the very least. But I think at the end of the day, it wasn't so much about the plot. It was
it
just
was
about the nostalgia and the people, the so kind of giving space to the actors that were brought back to just be on screen.
Right, but I you're right. At the end of the day, it was, as I said earlier, it was a celebration of Mighty Morphin. The problem is that once you try to make the plot have gravitas and be important to the story you are telling, you have to have a plot that makes sense and is legible and is internally consistent and fits with what you are trying to do. Otherwise, you get once and always. They could have very easily, honestly, just done a new episode of Mighty Morphin with like villain of the week and blah 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 blah, blah, blah. And the fans would have lapped it up all the same, right? But they didn't. Mm-hmm. They decided to try and make it this thing about Trini, and I don't know.
Yeah.
Does anyone know if had JDF died by the time they filmed this, or would he did he die afterwards?
He died afterwards, but he was doing Legend of the White Dragon. That's why he declined. He wanted to focus on his film. So.
Well, because after the 25th, he also said that he was like just done with Power Rangers, which is fair. Because he'd come back for so many specials and things.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering. So.
What you wondering?
I don't know. If the reason he hadn't been there is because of Legend of the White Dragon, that's fair enough. When I was originally watching it, I was like, they're putting all this emphasis on Tui Trang, who died. But they're just sort of like, well, JDF's here, but he's not.
Yeah, it was because they hadn't... He was still alive at the time of filming.
Okay. All right.
That's why they added it at the end.
Right.
yeah.
I don't know. My official thing is your mileage with this will vary.
Yeah.
If you are still a person who in 2023 loves Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, you will love this.
Yeah.
You will absolutely love this. If you are a person who in 2023 does not look back at Mighty Morphin with rose
nostalgia goggles.
With nostalgia goggles. You are going to see this episode's flaws because they are multitude and they are blaring.
Yeah.
There was one thing I wanted to get clarification about because I watched it once through and I have a note here. Did Zach talk about how they defeated Rita at one point?
No, he says we saved the world before.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Which is
they never defeated Rita.
Yeah, because I was like, buddy, what do you mean? Like, yes, you saved the world.
Mighty
Morphin,
the might, and again, I will go on record. I say this pretty much every time we talk about this, but the Power Rangers did not defeat a big bad until in space.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
The
because they didn't defeat Rita or Zed or the Machine Empire.
They didn't.
And
they didn't defeat these Vatox.
Nope.
Nope.
And let's be honest, did they really defeat Dark Spectre? Or did Zordon defeat Dark Spectre? with the help of Andros.
Zordon defeated Dark Spectre, but considering the key villain, quote unquote, that they faced in a... You know what? I'm going to pause here. We're going to have this conversation when we get to in space.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Long story short, if you look at it critically, Mighty Morphing are historically the worst team of Power Rangers because they never won.
Yeah. they had to go through how many sets of Zords, how many sets of powers, and they still lost. And
or somebody else got in the way.
Yeah.
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 Which
lost to Rita and Zed, who were constantly mocked as being bad at their jobs by every single villain ever.
Even Rita's dad.
Yep.
But I think your point, Ben, that like if you are fond of Mighty Morphin and you do still carry that nostalgia, you'll enjoy this series, I think is kind of what we said at the beginning, right?
Yeah, that's what it all comes down to.
We've
spent a long time now talking over the flaws and the problems, a good nearly 90 minutes at this point. We've talked longer than the special. But the point is if you've listened to our other episodes, I never had nostalgia goggles for Mighty Morphin. So I first watched Power Rangers at the age of 42. Sasha, Mike, and Brian, who will watch Mighty Morphin, have recently watched it and discovered some of the flaws to it. So we're not looking at it with nostalgia goggles. A lot of the people out there that are providing positive reviews on this are people who still love Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. And that's not to say that Brian or Mike don't still love Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. They can just look at it critically now.
That is true. Which was actually something I wanted to bring up was because like you said, if you're somebody that watched it as a kid and, you know, maybe you didn't sit down and do a podcast where you reviewed every episode of Power Rangers ever, but maybe you bought the box set and you watched a couple episodes or you binged through it and like you still have that nostalgia high, then yeah, you're going to love this. But if you are like everybody here and you're like me who... We talked about the flaws. We talked about, hey, why doesn't this make sense? Hey, this, that, the other. Then I'm in a weird position where I could... While the nostalgia goggles had been stepped on and there's cracks in them, I can still kind of see out of them, but I'm also seeing like it for what it is. So while I can see, yes, obviously like 6-year-old me would love this, like I can still kind of be like, okay, there's parts of it like I can just kind of shut my brain off and enjoy, but then I have to turn my brain back on and go, wait a minute, no, that doesn't make any sense either. So like you said, mileage will vary.
I never really had nostalgia goggles per se on the show. I definitely preferred Vast Seasons over Mighty Morphin, so I wouldn't say I have nostalgia goggles. I do think there is a certain fondness for all of us that had Mighty Morphin as our first Power Ranger.
Yeah.
Where, you know, like we said in the beginning, like it was really cool to see Zach and Billy back as Rangers.
Yeah.
It didn't matter how many times they morphed, just seeing them on screen together again was incredible. Like, honestly, I would have been perfectly happy if we didn't even see them morph.
Yeah.
Like just having them on screen was so cool. Having Rocky and Aisha return was also a big deal because they had never come back to Power Rangers since leaving.
No, Rocky was in Ninja Steel.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Thank you.
And
Aisha, wait.
I don't think Aisha came.
Yeah, Steve she didn't. Was definitely in...
That tells you how much I remember Ninja Steel. But the point is that I don't think he had many lines at the very least. But the point is that we had, you know, seeing a lot of these actors again and these characters again. Mm-hmm. So there was a certain fondness. But yeah, mileage will vary. And at the end of the day, if you're looking for like the greatest writing ever, you're not going to find it here.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just here to sort of hang out and just watch your favorite Rangers on screen, then at the very least, you'll have a good time and something to talk to your friends about.
No,
go ahead, Brian.
I was just going to say, if you're one of the people who, like me, you know, you like to watch a trailer and you like to speculate and like, oh, what does this mean? What does that mean? Oh man, wouldn't it be cool if they did this, that, the other? Like, it's you're barking up the wrong tree here. You're not going to get that. You're not going to get like, oh, what's the SPA? What's the importance of that? What's the importance of? It's just not going to happen. So I don't know. It kind of sucks, but you know, I've come to expect it at this point.
Yeah. Again, I can't use the words I want to use because of the age rating of this show. But it is very much a... All at once, it is a very... I can't even say that. I'm really being stymied here. At the end of the day, you're going to see the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. You are also going to see the franchise's attempt to mourn Trini, or to write Trini out and replace her. Again, your mileage with this will vary depending on how you deal with generational stories and how you deal with annoying, poorly written, bad, awful, entitled teenagers. But again, please, I know we've said a lot of bad things about it, but at the end of the day, watch it and make your own judgment.
And, you know, maybe if it does well, it would prompt Netflix to maybe do specials for other seasons that are also coming up on their 30th anniversaries in a few years. So,
I mean, God knows.
So to end this out, right? What season would you like them to do an anniversary show for? Sasha, you cannot say in space. I can't say Lightspeed Rescue. And Brian, you can't say... I was going to say Mighty Morphin, but they've already done one.
Zio?
Well, what's your... Other than Mighty Morphin, what's your favorite season?
Right now, it is a tie between...
SPD. You can't say SPD.
Okay.
So, Sasha can't say In Space, which is her favorite season. I can't say Lightspeed Rescue. I have more than one favorite season,
but it's fine.
I can't say... All right. That's coming
up. It's fine. It's fine.
That's coming up. I can't say Lightspeed Rescue, and you can't say SPD.
Okay. Cool.
Sasha.
Time Force.
Okay.
One, because the cast is still, like, very friendly and, like, get together, as far as I understand, is when they can. And they've always wanted to come back for a movie. So yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. Brian?
What is it? I would say, let's see what happens with Dino Thunder.
I'm not sure it will happen, but yeah.
Partially, too, because they're doing the 20th of ABBA Ranger in Japan right now. But that's got very little to do with it. I just think it'd be cool to see what those kids are up to.
Yeah.
Because I think, what was it? I was going to say RPM, but we kind of got that with Beast Morphers. So,
and just a little Samurai. Bit.
So
and
those are glorified cameos. They
and
don't
Super
count.
Mega Force.
Yeah.
Super Mega Force just doesn't count, period.
Do Super Mega Force and just like make it better. Like
just redo it. That's the
okay, Ben,
anniversary
what's your
episode.
answer to that question?
The obvious one for me would be Jungle Fury. But I'm not going to say that, even though I would love to see
Really?
it. No, I think Jungle Fury's story got told pretty well. I'm never going to say no to more RJ, but he can pop up anywhere. I would love to see. Now, this is a complicated one due to certain things that have happened in and around the cast of the show. But I would love to see a follow-up to Ninja Storm. Because I would love to see Cam and Sensei Watanabe
I believe
running the Wind
Sensei's
Ninja.
actor has unfortunately passed away.
Right, but guinea pig. CG.
He'd be turned back into a guinea pig for the duration of the special.
I don't know, but like just have Cam be the new Sensei Watanabe and like training
That'd be
some new
cool.
Ninja Rangers.
That would be
I'm
fun.
perfectly fine. And again, with all the stuff I've said about Min, bear in mind that I absolutely loved Bill and Ted 3. And more importantly, Ghostbusters Afterlife made me cry for 3.5 hours
It
solid.
made all of us cry. Oh.
I am not against legacy stories.
But they have to be done
I
well.
am against poorly told legacy
Yeah.
stories.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of Power Rangers shows could lend themselves to legacy shows. Especially if it's something like, especially if it's like Lightspeed Rescue, for example, because it's a military thing. Once Carter and Dana and that move on, they're gonna train new Rangers. Once the Tori and Dustin graduate from the Wind Ninja Academy, they're gonna train more ninjas, right? Like there's certain Ranger shows where it makes sense to have the Ranger powers passed down.
SPD.
Yeah, that's literally the plot of SPD. We should wrap
If I
up. We've
can,
been gone forever.
yeah,
I think it's
I
time.
have I have one more answer for a show that I think they could do it, and they have footage already, but they can also shoot new stuff. Dino Charge. Because they did Dino Charge Braving. They did Dino Charge Brave in Korea, so they could use something from that. I
There's
don't know.
I
Anyway.
know, but I feel like for Dino Charge, I feel like it hasn't been enough time for me.
I
But
will say one thing. Cool to hear Ron Wasserman back.
oh my God.
Yes.
I can't
And
believe we
it
waited
was
so long to get
really
to them.
nice to see the Mighty Morphing Suits in well choreographed fights.
Yes. Yeah.
That I will say.
That was pretty awesome. Like I agree. But in lieu of all that, let's try and wrap this up. So I will begin by saying, Ben, where can we find you on the World Wide Web?
You can find me at Bob T. Goldfish on the Twitter machines. You can find me on Voices from the Grid's sister show, Awesome Mania, over at THXTHockey.com. If you go to the X75 Productions dropdown, click on Awesome Mania. You can find our Hall of Fame and all of our various episodes there. It's a wrestling watch-along podcast. As of the time of recording, we are working our way through the year 1998. We have just covered WrestleMania 14, the
Good
final
stuff.
appearance of the Winged Eagle belt. And we have yet to record this month's episode. So bear with us on that one. But yeah, you can find me over there.
Right, fantastic. And Sasha, where can we find you on the World Wide Web as well?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Kiki Kaplan. That is Kaplan with a K after the greatest superhero in the Marvel Universe, Billy Kaplan. You can also see me on the Voices from the Grid sister show, Nerdy Notion. My friend Caitlin and I are Continuing my and now her misadventures through the MCU, you should definitely check out our last recording of the Black Widow movie, which oof, it was a rough ride. And keep an eye out for further content. And yeah, definitely check me out on Twitter and Instagram.
All right. And as for myself, you can find me on Twitter at Wondering Geek. You can also find me over at friend of the podcast studio, Castwave Studios. We are on Spotify. Feel free to check out our new show, which is called Two Fat Guys Eat. We just did an episode about McDonald's. We just ranked past items versus current items. Check that out. And you can also find me on Twitter at our TikTok. At Blue Ranger B underscore RYE, Blue Ranger B Rye. And yeah, give us give it a like and a shout. And Ben, with that being said, sir, the floor is yours.
It's been quite a long time where we've been saying fairly negative things about the special. But again, as I said earlier, please watch it and make your own opinions. This is the opinion of the one, the only, the ever snarky. It is the opinion of a man who started watching Power Rangers in his 40s, and the opinions of a recently disenfranchised Mighty Morphin fan. So just grain of salt with what we're trying to say. Our thing with Voices in the Grid is we take it way too seriously, and we look for what's not there. That being said, thank you for listening, everyone. We will leave you, as we always do, by saying, guys, gals, non-binary pals, and all those beyond that spectrum. The words of the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, be excellent to each other. Party on, my friends.
And until our next more phenomenal episode, for one more time, be sure to grab your power morphers and your power coins, and may the power protect you.
It was nice to see Billy and Zach again.